Ms. Bourne, you have 15 minutes.
Okay. May it please the court, my name is Rosemary Bourne on behalf of the appellee, the Commonwealth of Virginia. There are two issues in this case, well, two charges of possession with intent to distribute and a child neglect. This was a sufficiency of the evidence case, and only one argument was presented on appeal, which involved a factual argument that there was no evidence where the defendant and the firearms and the drugs were located when the police went in the house. As I've argued on brief, there was evidence at trial from which the court could have inferred and in fact made the factual finding where these items were, and so his finding was not plainly wrong. Unless the court has questions for me.
Yeah, what establishes that the gun was anywhere the child could have gotten it before the police entered the house?
Well, there was testimony that, although it may have been based on hearsay, but there was no objection to it, that the both the defendant and the child were asleep when the state police or whoever went in first went in the house.
But is there any testimony where the gun was?
Yes, there was testimony that, and the court found, made a factual finding, that the state police, because they said there was testimony, our role is to go in and secure the people in the house. And he said they were only in there for a couple of minutes. It was a small house. And he found, as a matter of fact, that that's what they did.
Were there multiple bedrooms?
There were, I believe the record reflects that there were two bedrooms, the child's bedroom and Mr. Wiggins' bedroom.
So where was the child, anywhere near the gun?
Well, the gun, one of the guns was under the sofa. It was not...
But the child was in the bedroom.
But he was not supervised, and the defendant was asleep at the time. So it would have been very easy for him to go into the living room where the defendant was, was asleep somewhere else and not supervising him.
Of the trial court's factual findings, did he ever find that the child was alone in a room with the gun?
I don't think he said that, no, Your Honor.
Was there any evidence that the child was ever alone in a room with a gun?
That he was alone in the room with a gun? No.
And certainly you're not arguing that possession of a gun in a house where a child resides is a felony.
Of course, I'm not arguing that, although I don't think that issue as a matter of law was raised on direct appeal. The only issue was where we can't prove child neglect because we don't know where the defendant was and the victim was, the victim in the sense of the child neglect was.
Theoretically, if the defendant was asleep in the bed, he had the gun in his possession.
No, there were two guns. There was one automatic.
Well, the gun in his bed. There was one gun in his bed.
There was one.
So that would have been in his possession. And the other gun was hidden.
Was just under the sofa where they found it, just by looking under the sofa.
So. Not in plain view.
Well, I don't know that. I didn't see the...
But who has the burden of proving it was in plain... who has the burden of proving that it was readily accessible?
I believe that the officer said that he just looked and there it was under the sofa. There was no sort of manipulation or testimony that any sort of manipulation under the sofa had to take place. That it was, in plain view in the sense that it was slid under the sofa.
If a hunting rifle is left in a location in a house, and a child is in a different room, but the adult's not in the room with the child, is that child neglect?
Well, luckily, I understand the court's question, and I don't know. I guess it depends on the facts and circumstances of the case. Was the gun loaded? What has to be done with regard to pulling the trigger? Had there been some, child safety rules imposed with the guns?
Was the gun loaded?
Yes, there was testimony it was loaded.
The one under the couch?
Yes. There was testimony that it was loaded, and that is on supplemental appendix page 35 and then 69 through 68.
Was there any evidence that the child had any involvement with the gun in the past? And the reason why I ask that question is a seminal case on this area of child neglect, in my view, is the case of Commonwealth versus Kelly. It was a case where the father left the child in the car and the child died. In that case, the Commonwealth didn't just rely on the particular facts and circumstances that the child was left in a hot car. The Commonwealth relied on the evidence that the child had been left unsupervised on other occasions, that there were certain other circumstances to suggest that this was not just general negligence, for lack of a better way of putting it, but this action was so gross and reckless to meet the standard of criminal liability. Is there anything else in our case here other than the gun was there and was loaded, that you think would support something more than just maybe just negligence as opposed to something?
Well, I mean, I think that the court made a factual finding here that there was also marijuana in the house, which was located on the floor in a potato chip box. And there certainly have been cases upon which courts have found that access to drugs may be sufficient enough to support a child neglect charge. That in combination, and what I would argue here is, look, under the circumstances in this case, the court could infer that this house was a drug distribution house based on what was found in the house.
On that last point, Ms. Brennan, didn't the trial court specifically predicate its child neglect finding on the fact that there were two loaded guns laying around the house?
It did not exclusively say that. It did mention that as a basis.
The court didn't say anything, and oh, by the way, also these drugs were in a location where the child could have ingested this marijuana,
But under the proper standard of review, if there is any evidence sufficient to support a conviction, that and the trial court, and here there was plenty of evidence, and I believe the prosecutor may have even argued about the marijuana.
I think the concern that you may be anticipating from the questions that we're asking is that, and I used this term earlier, there needs to be some other hook. In other words, if we have a case which holds the principle that simply having a child in the house where there is a loaded firearm can subject you to child neglect is a dangerous road that I don't think anybody would want to go down on this
and
court.
You don't have to go down that road in this case, and I'm going to explain to you why, Your Honor, and that's because
the yellow brick road.
Because that is not the argument that was made on appeal. If that argument had been made at trial, well, maybe it was slightly made on appeal, but it was not made at trial. The only statement that was made at trial, the only one that's been preserved for this court, is we don't factually know where this child was, and we don't know where the defendant was when they went in the house. The argument was never made, and the judge never had a chance to address that it is insufficient as a matter of law if you have a loaded gun in the house with a child.
But doesn't that argument kind of assume, I mean, that, it seems to me he's almost conceding that a loaded gun could be child neglect, but it would be predicated on the child being at a minimum being in the room with a loaded gun. And there's no evidence that that ever happened, right?
Well, the evidence was, as I can only say what the record says, and what the record in this case demonstrated in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, is that both parties were asleep when the state police went in, and that the firearm was unsecured and was loaded.
Do you think that your case, from your perspective, is more successful from a 5A18 or a consideration of the evidence and the arguments that were made on the merits?
Well, it's certainly more murky if we have to delve into whether a loaded firearm is sufficient as a matter of law. So I would certainly argue that because...
I like the term murky. It's been suggested before, but it's a good term.
I would argue that this is undoubtedly barred by 5A18, which does not require the court to delve into those depths in order to resolve the case. And that's what I argued. But I did, in footnote, try to provide you some support about other cases with drugs and so forth. And I would
Those cases that you cite, as I recall them, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's typically you had some sort of undercover police officer who would go into the premises and he would buy something there and he would see, you know, a loaded firearm on the table and he would see a baby crawling around on the floor and thereby provide additional information suggesting that, yeah, look, when I was involved in this drug transaction, I saw a loaded firearm sitting there right in the baby's ability to access or the infant's ability to access it. And so those kind of cases are a bit stronger. But what we have here, arguably, I'm not saying that that's determination of the court, but arguably, is a lot of inferences. Well, you've got drugs here, and drugs are dangerous by their very nature if they're not legally prescribed. And we have a firearm in the house that's loaded, which could be dangerous to the child if the child was able to access it. So it builds one point onto another and maybe takes us down a road that our opinion could be read for the wrong principle.
Well, what I would say to Your Honor is that not only the facts at trial are entitled to deference, but the inferences that are also entitled to deference, the same deference that specific facts are. The factual any inference that the fact finder makes is entitled to deference unless it's plainly wrong.
Would it be your, and I'm not asking this, is not what we need to decide this case, but would it be your view generally that any time that you have illegal contraband drugs in a house and a loaded firearm and a child, that that subjects the person to liability?
I think it depends on the facts and circumstances of the case. In this case, I would say you not only have these both two firearms, you have somebody asleep, you have drugs, you have lots of money, and other indicia which showing that there was drug distribution going on in this house. To have a five-year-old child in the same house where drug distribution is going on, which is a reasonable inference under the facts in this case, is child neglect.
Well, suppose instead of illegal drugs, we had a prescription sitting on the kitchen counter in a non-child-proof protected container, but the child was supervised. Would that be child abuse and neglect?
No.
What's the difference between that and this case?
Because distributing illegal drugs is an inherently dangerous activity.
To the child?
If you have people coming in out of the house buying drugs,
where
if you have firearms in the house that are unsecured.
That the drugs were sold from the house?
Well, he's been possession with intent to distribute in the house because there were two firearms. There's indicia of drug activity in the house from which the court could have inferred that. I think it's a reasonable inference, Your Honor.
I don't understand what's more dangerous. Why a bag of marijuana sitting on the counter is more dangerous than a bottle of oxycodone sitting on the counter?
Well, but you also said that there was evidence that the child was supervised.
In both instances. There's no evidence the child was not supervised here.
I disagree, Your Honor. There was evidence that he was asleep, that the defendant was asleep and he was not supervising a child where there was a loaded firearm in the house. There's no evidence the child was locked in a room, there was a baby gate up, there was anything like that.
That does put us to the murky area. If I go to bed tonight, my 4-year-old will presumably be asleep. I will fall asleep sometimes, so we'll be simultaneously asleep. Now, if history is any guide, I will wake up first. But so if I have a loaded gun in the house, that's child neglect? If we're both asleep at the same time?
Where do you have? If you have your loaded gun
in your drawer outside in the living room.
Well, again, I would say that this was not in the drawer. This was underneath the sofa. It was a loaded gun that only required the trigger being pulled to go off. There was no evidence that anything else had to be done. And he was asleep and not supervised. I mean, we know that, and of course, this could be open to, you might not think that that's child neglect, but is it plainly wrong? Is it plainly wrong to find that someone who has a loaded gun that's not secured, I mean, could reasonable minds differ as to that? If so, then you have to affirm this case.
We had a real concern because a lot of reasonable minds could disagree with that being subjected to criminal liability.
Yes, but that's not the question. Uh-huh. That's not the question in this case. The question is it plainly wrong for, if we even reach the merits of this, which I would say, to the degree that you are addressing them, was not preserved below. But if it is reasonable for the trial court to have reached this, and any reasonable fact finder could have made that decision based on all we know about firearms and how many people are accidentally shot with them, et cetera, is it plainly wrong for this judge to so find?
But the problem that I would see, and again, I appreciate your arguments, you're doing a really good job, is that use Judge Russell's example. And let's assume that I'm much younger, as young as him, and I still have a 5-year-old in my house. And Judge Russell is charged with the offense of having a loaded firearm in his home while the child had reasonable access to it, whatever you want to call it, you know, child neglect. And they find him not guilty. And I have the exact same situation, and a reasonable fact finder finds me guilty, saying no difference. Let's assume that there's no difference in what we're doing. Is that coherent jurisprudence?
Well, it's obviously not consistent in jurisprudence, but the question here is, I mean, I don't think that there is a case in Virginia that addresses that issue at all. I would also say that the argument as a matter of law was not preserved below. The argument about whether a firearm, and that's a question that I would say the trial court would need to have the opportunity to address. which was not raised here. I mean, the trial court, as the fact finder in this case, should have had the opportunity to say, if the argument was being made, no, I disagree that about your argument that a loaded gun is insufficient as a matter of law. That argument was not made.
Bet you were not taking bets when you said, I'll answer any questions if a red light would come on.
I enjoyed the shadow boxing, as it were.
We'll come down and greet you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm going to go home and get all